This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, December 3rd, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app or by podcast or on social media, we appreciate you starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Did you miss Greg Bach? I did. I know you all did too. Greg Bach is back, ladies and gentlemen, right where he belongs on this Tuesday morning down there in Radio Park. Mr. Bach, how was your break?
My break was good, you know. Had went to Indiana for Thanksgiving weekend, Friday through Sunday, and it was a little unexpected. The Friday, we got there on Friday, and we were at a house. We were at my cousin's house. There were probably like 45 people there, and half of them were kids. There was a lot happening. And then Saturday, it's like, all right, we got to go over to this this aunt's house. We're gonna hang out and. But they were going to go, like, do something all day long, and then we were going to hang out with them in the later afternoon, evening. And then they just never called. They were like, they're like, yeah, we're all pretty beat from the day. And Bridget and I were like, that's fine. Yeah.
Sometimes it's the things that don't happen.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Make a day worthwhile.
Yeah.
Alicia writes on YouTube, yay, Greg is back. So
hi, Alicia.
So you can see even in this early morning, it helps. Yesterday at this time, I was explaining to folks that I was drinking black coffee, which almost never happens, which means I didn't have very much of it as I was waiting. I was getting a blood draw for a physical coming up. And only about 20 minutes ago did I realize that on our social media screen, where people watch the video feed, the whole day long yesterday, Monday.
The live long day.
It said Tuesday. On there. It said Tuesday, December 2nd, instead of Monday, December 2nd. Today is Tuesday. Oh, no. I had set the scene. It gets worse when I show up to get some new tires. I get some tires swapped out for, winter's a-coming.
Yeah.
And I worked very carefully to find a good price on tires and pick just the right place and set up the appointment online and everything. And I got there yesterday afternoon, and they're like, your appointment's tomorrow. It's just like,
That's when you know, Pat, that's when you get to go full old man and go, it's not true at all. all don't know how to look at a calendar.
And the whole time I'm thinking, well, okay, I must have had... How did I have Tuesday on the brain? It was December 2, so maybe that was 2. I don't know. Maybe I should just go with being old.
Yeah.
Whatever the reason was, the whole day yesterday was weird. There were car troubles. There was date confusion. There was, the lack of coffee meant that when I got to the lab shortly after the show for my blood draw, and they were like, okay. And then they hand me this little jar and said, the bathroom's over here. And I'm like, I was not aware we were taking more than blood. And they're like, well, yeah. For a guy like me who is no stranger to visiting the restroom,
yeah,
to not be able to provide a sample because I hadn't had anything to drink yet was very awkward. So I had to go home and come back. And do the walk of shame with the little brown paper bag and hand it to some poor person at the check-in desk and go, this sample goes to the lab and I'm very sorry. And if I had a 10-foot pole, I would hand it to you that way. But that's...
Not that's me, man. Happens. I walk in and be like, here's my pee. Wham!
It was awkward. The whole day was just awkward. You were gone. We had all these people with birthdays yesterday. I said to all of them, "Hey, drop in on the show. Let's celebrate your birthday." Crickets all the way through. Even Britney Spears didn't show up. Do you believe
Britney
that?
Britney Spears didn't show up? Oh, my
didn't
gosh.
Didn't show up. You know, Aaron Rodgers didn't show up. No, none of them.
I fought so hard for her to lose their conservatorship and all that stuff, and now she's just become a prima donna, mm-hmm. all full of herself, doesn't return my phone calls.
Nope.
Honestly, like, there was a bunch of my friends, like, non-radio who had birthdays yesterday as well.
Yeah.
It's a good day for birthdays.
It was a very good day for birthdays. We were happy to celebrate them. And maybe we'll see Brittany Merlot today. We're scheduled to. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll see Chad Holmes today. Mm-hmm. We're scheduled to.
Yeah.
I did see Kristen Lyerly put up some nice photos. I get the impression she was not in on the planning of this trip and that she was taken away to another place for her birthday. And whatever the case was, looked like she had a good birthday. So good for her. Just a good day all in all.
Yeah.
Today is a good day for folks who for 13 years have watched what Act 10 has done to Wisconsin. And coming up on the program today, we'll talk about a judge throwing it out. Because Act 10 was always based on a sham premise, and we'll describe that in just a bit. It's just that it took this long for a court to finally say, yeah, this is a sham. This law is unconstitutional. We'll talk a bit more about President Biden's pardon of his son Hunter because of the reaction to it, which has been ridiculous from the media, from Republicans, but also from a fair share of Democrats as well. We'll talk a bit about that as the day goes along. We will have today's history lesson as well. This is Giving Tuesday. There are so many profits and charities in Wisconsin that would love to have your support. Well, they'd love it year-round, but Giving Tuesday is like now this, you know, concerted effort to remind everybody to give a little something someplace during this holiday season. If you need help with that, head over to civicmedia.us, where they have put together a list of groups, some with statewide impact, others have a good cause closer to home. So find that list of suggestions for Giving Tuesday over at civicmedia.us. Meanwhile, the daily newsletter from Up North News is out, as it is early every morning, and you can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie puts it together. We'll hear from her later this hour. She, in the newsletter, talks about more giving presents with a purpose and with a food theme and with a Wisconsin tie-in. So that's a great thing to have in the newsletter. She also says in the newsletter, in the list of top 20 tourist traps in the world, one of the top 20 is in Wisconsin. And depending on your frame of mind when you go there, the House on the Rock is either a waste of money and time, or it's a very unique collection, shall we say, of artifacts that you can find. So you can read more about that over at upnorthnewswi.com, and you can sign up for our newsletter there. If you'd like to reach the show at all, the phone number here is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also call us or text us at that number. Call us or text us on the Civic Media app. And if you're watching the show, as Alicia is, on Facebook or YouTube, you can put something in the comment section and put something there. Alicia adds, every 2 years for her DOT physical, she forgets that she's supposed to pee when she goes there. So, yeah, apparently it happens to all of us. It just had never happened to me before. Bus stop temperatures not that much different from yesterday. It's 20 degrees here in Chippewa Falls, 16 in Hayward. Wausau's at 20, La Crosse 15, Amory 16. Wisconsin Rapids is at 20 degrees, Green Bay 23, Madison 25, Waukesha 25, and down at Radio Park in Racine, it is 28 degrees right now. We will, of course, talk about the court striking down Act 10. We will talk about the Biden pardon. But for the next couple of minutes, we have to get to what is undoubtedly the moment you're waiting for. when Greg Bach and Pat Kreitlow review Yacht Rock, a documentary, which premiered on HBO and on the Max app over the weekend. And I mentioned it only in passing yesterday because I knew you'd be back today. And I thought it was amazing that even if you're not a Yacht Rock fan, even if you like to mock the soft rock of the 1970s, you're going to learn stuff in there. You're going to learn interesting stuff in there. That's my two cents. I loved the stories. I loved the chronological way it all unfolded. And I loved the homage they paid to what got this all started, which was a like a video skit series on YouTube that kind of, you know, made fun in a loving way of, you know, the whole Yacht Rock genre, which wasn't called Yacht Rock until these chuckleheads made a video series and referred to it as such. And an entire genre had now been named.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very cool. You don't see that very often.
Well, I mean, I'm just gonna, first of all, let's do this really. There we go. All right.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very smooth.
I really enjoyed it. I told you before we went there, I fell asleep during it because
it's smooth.
It's so smooth. It's just so smooth. And I went back and watched the entire thing. Yeah. I mean, the for me as a musician and a music lover and a yacht rock lover is like the musicianship of those artists is undeniable. Like this isn't like, you know, just playing three chords. These are really trained musicians who know what they are doing and creating pop music deliberately, if you will. Like there, it's not just like, oh, we stumbled upon this song. No, they worked really hard to make these songs happen. And I really loved listening to it. And there, I'm not going to spoil it. All I'm going to say is the pinnacle for that entire thing to show exactly who they are as a group is Donald Fagen's call with the director of the film. And I will say nothing else. I will say nothing else.
Stick around for that.
Yeah. But it's really fun.
It was a lot like there was a documentary recently about the Brat Pack. And it had interviews with everybody, but one glaring omission.
Yeah.
And there was a phone call near the end of that one with Emilio Estevez, Judd Nelson?
Judd Nelson. He interviewed Emilio Estevez in the movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, again, I'm old.
That movie was so disappointing, though. It was so disappointing.
It was. It was just kind of the same reaction over and over again.
Yeah.
Whereas, as you say, with the Yacht Rock one, it really was paying tribute to the studio musicians who came up through the bar scene in L.A., and the really good ones, you know, the cream always rises to the top.
Yeah.
And it's definitely worth your time to watch the Yacht Rock documentary. Hey, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, and it is Tuesday, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota, on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Mickey Thomas of Jefferson Starship, later Starship, is part of today's history lesson. Tell you why, coming up in about 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio for this Tuesday morning. And again, I emphasize today is the actual Tuesday morning, December 3rd. Nice to have you along here. A couple of very quick sports notes. They're both basketball related. The Milwaukee Bucks are back in action tonight. They are in Detroit for another in-season NBA Cup tournament game. And the Badger men open up Big Ten play tonight at the Kohl Center. Tip-off is at 8 p.m., which means that I believe pregame starts at 7 p.m. There it is now. Yes, 7 p.m. on WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WRCE in Richland Center, and the Civic Media app. You can catch the Badger basketball game tonight there. Packers, by the way, again, have a Thursday night game again this week. They will be at Detroit, pregame starting at 5 o'clock. on Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and Park Falls. The Packer games, by the way, not on the Civic Media app, but the Badger games are. So be sure to give yourself a chance to tune in and listen to Badger Sports over the Civic Media app. All right, well, let's get into what happened with Act 10 yesterday from a Dane County judge who followed through on signals that were put up over the summertime about Act 10 and essentially threw out the parts that most related to public sector unions, teachers especially, the 2011 law that took away their collective bargaining rights. Here's the thing to know about it. The 2011 law, which was dropped like a bomb by Scott Walker, by his own admission, just a couple of weeks after he was sworn into office, is that it was always based on a sham premise. Let me make that clear again. Act 10 was always based on a sham premise. The premise that you could take all public sector union workers and divide them into two groups. And again, remember Scott Walker, by his own admission, said his whole plan for his governorship was to divide and conquer. And he divided state workers into two groups. And that one of the groups would be exempt from losing their collective bargaining rights. And coincidentally, wink, it's the same group of unions that endorsed Scott Walker the year before in 2010 when he won the governorship. What followed was a willful blindness of, coincidentally, again, wink, conservative judges and justices that finally came to an end with a new lawsuit and a ruling by Dane County Circuit Judge Jacob Frost, whose ruling says that all public sector workers who lost their collective bargaining power 13 years ago were to have it restored to where it was prior to 2011, and that teachers and others would be treated the same as police, firefighters, other public safety unions that were exempted under the law. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story by Jessica Van Egren and others includes a quote from the judge that's very appropriate to the matter at hand here. The lawsuit that had been filed by Act 10 critics said, "There's something unconstitutional about creating two classes of public employees, general and public safety, and that public safety employees were exempt from the collective bargaining limits imposed on general public employees." But the judge said he could not see a constitutional basis for dividing the workers in one way or another. The way that Judge Frost put it was like this: "Nobody could provide this court an explanation that reasonably showed why municipal police and fire and state troopers are considered public safety employees, but Capitol Police, UW Police, conservation wardens, who have the same authority and do the same work, are not classified as public safety employees. And that the court cannot decide who should be included or excluded absent any further guidance from the legislature, and therefore Act 10 is unconstitutional and is by and large struck down, and those collective bargaining rights are reinstituted for those folks whose unions did not endorse Scott Walker back in 2010. And it really was that basic. But it really took that long for courts to see it that way. Now, of course, the reaction includes promises by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and by former Governor Scott Walker that, you know, there should be an appeal about this. There was much said about, you know, an activist judge and an activist court. Again, words that ring hollow when you see a U.S. Supreme Court strike down Roe v. Wade and give a president unlimited immunity if he or she believes something is an official act. So the hypocrisy was rather rank, shall we say. And obviously, it just means the stakes in this next Supreme Court election could not be higher. And they were already high to begin with. Now you throw this into the mix, a court that is currently under progressive control 4-3. But a progressive judge, a progressive justice is retiring. And so there is again the chance for conservatives to win on April 1st and take over the court again. So this is going to be a huge race that is going to be coming up. And it has ramifications not only for public sector employment, but for voting rights, the way elections are done, school funding, a whole host of other things that it has taken over a decade to undo the damage that Scott Walker and his wrecking crew brought into Wisconsin. The question is whether that work can continue, or, like at the federal level, will it be stymied? Because we saw how Donald Trump could get back into power. It's possible that conservatives could get back into power on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and allow the nightmare of the past decade to simply pick up where we left off. When we come back, Christina Laurie will be here to talk about some of the stories that she's following as we turn the calendar onto December and into the Christmas season. Back with more in a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back to Up North News Radio, where it's time, as always, this time each week, we talk with Christina Laurie, who is our community editor. A lot of the Wisconsin features that she puts together, either about places, events, food, people, sports, you name it, you can find in our newsletter and on social media. Head over to Facebook, look up Up North News WI to see some of the pictures that she adds and things like that. Christina Laurie, good morning. Hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Good. Good. We've come out of Thanksgiving here. We're welcome to December. It still feels a little weird to say December, and yet here we are already coming up near the end of the year. So I'm going to start with the hard-hitting question, December 3rd. Too early for Christmas music yet, or were you playing yours like the moment Thanksgiving dinner was cleared off the table?
I started playing November 1st. You're okay. Asking the wrong girl.
Oh boy.
I am deep into my Christmas playlist. I have been listening to it ever since Kelly Clarkson re-released her Christmas album, which I believe was the end of October, actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really go crazy with the Christmas music.
All right, here, I'm really going to open myself up for ridicule on this one. Kelly Clarkson, Underneath the Tree, the song.
Yeah.
I would actually put that above Mariah Carey in terms of the Christmas song I like to hear most on the radio now. And that's only because Mariah's song has been around for
30 years.
Oh, is it 30 years exactly?
I only know because I've talked before about my birthday buddy, Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
The song also came out the same year I was born. So I do feel a special kinship to that, but I don't think that's as crazy as you think it is. I might not disagree with you on that. Mm-hmm. Kelly Clarkson's, that entire album, Wrapped in Red, is phenomenal. It's a no skip album.
Really? Okay. Now I'm going to admit I've never heard anything else off the album. I just hear the song. I really like the production value of it. Obviously, she's got a gorgeous voice. So everybody who's still like, no, it's too soon. Sorry. Maybe you need to start with Kelly versus Mariah and make your own decision.
Right? And most of the songs on her album are like Christmas classics. You know,
okay.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. She has a beautiful Silver Bells with Reba and Trisha Yearwood. That's gorgeous as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a question for you, which, again, you know, you always think I pick on anybody younger than me as if you're like 18 or something. But here's the Christmas cards.
I'm old fashioned.
So you still make, write, send out hand signed Christmas cards?
Correct.
Okay.
And what makes this probably more weird is I don't have like a cute kid to show off. I don't have a dog. I don't include a photo of myself. This mm-hmm. isn't like a self-indulgent thing. I just think it's really nice to connect with people with handwritten notes. I do only send them to people that are older than me. I find that people within my own generation tend to not really care that much. Yeah. I have a very few, like I have a handful of closest, like longtime friends that I will send a note to, of course. But most of them are like former teachers. I try to kind of think out of the box, like some people who might be alone for the holidays. My mom and I used to be part of this knitting group at our church when I was in high school. And I kept in touch with one of the ladies from there. I think she's like 88. Her name is Lynn. So she'll get one. But yeah, I think you're right. Christmas cards are a dying thing.
Yeah. And I think that's unfortunate. I mean, I get that people don't send like handwritten letters, you know, in the age of email and cell phones and everything, but there was always something nice about the card. Now, obviously some folks, and we do this along with everybody else. Now they're kind of mass produced. We take, you know, we take a photo or photos and we send more of a photo card than, you know, the old, you know, fashioned one that didn't have pictures or anything. It was very generic. I think that's a nice step up. I'd rather see that than no card at all.
But well, what I love about it is I got your card last year. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that I'm still on your mailing list this year. But since I never met your family in person, it's nice to like put faces to the names that I hear all the time.
Yes. No, I appreciate that. And yes, I think you're still on the... You're on the nice list, so I think you'll be getting that. But I will say, again, another pet peeve of mine, people who send out cards with only their kids and don't include themselves, especially if it's folks who are like, I don't know your kids. I wouldn't recognize your kid if they showed up on, you know, and rang my doorbell. How are you doing? How are you guys looking these days? Show me where you've gone on a vacation or whatever. Don't just send the kids. That's me.
Especially when people just send their kids and then they say, Merry Christmas, you know, from the Lorries, mm-hmm. Bobby, Jake, and Brian. And I'm like, I don't know who is who.
You're right.
You need to label your kids.
Yes. I do still appreciate the family update letters. And I think they're less in vogue than they used to be. I mean, I know people.
Facebook, Instagram.
People oh, exactly.
Know everything.
Yes, we already. And in fact,
we know what you ate for dinner last night.
Right. And the funny thing is, I used to write, you know, a kind of a lengthy letter and tried to make it really funny. And I used to get a lot of good feedback on it. And actually, one of the last times I did a letter like that was spoofing Facebook. When Facebook was relatively new, it was just throughout the paper, a series of posts. I know other people did that as well. Just series of posts like here, we did this and we did this and we did this. And it just doesn't read, you know, the same anymore as it used to. I don't do it anymore because our kids are grown and gone. And, you know, I appreciate when people do go through the work of doing it. So I hope we've talked a few more people into saying, you know what, I'm going to send the letter anyway. So
I mean, at this point, we should just give them our company PO box and see who wants to mail us Christmas cards.
Post Office Box 27, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Let's turn to some of the stories that you've been working on. Steve Stricker, the golfer, has been doing a lot of good things as, you know, in his senior years, I guess is the way you put it from a professional standpoint, and has a tournament that does some good things. What's the latest on that?
Which is so weird. Like we're calling him a senior. I think you're qualified for the senior PGA the moment you turn 50,
yes.
Which is not old. But Steve Stricker, I mean, Madison native, we're just so lucky to have him here in Wisconsin. Every summer he hosts his big American Family Championship golf tournament. It's a week-long thing. It ends with a giant concert at Bree Stevens Field. This past year, the headliner was Train. They put on a great show. They have a bunch of songs that you've heard, even if you don't think off the top of your head that you love Train. But he just announced, like, the final numbers are in for the tournament. They raised $2.5 million, which is a record. That is absolutely incredible. And, you know, people always want to know where the money is going to. Like the name of the tournament suggests, the majority of it, half of it, is going to the American Family Children's Hospital here in Madison. But the other half, which I think is really neat, is actually split between more than 160 local charities. So each one of them will get a few thousand dollars. You know, some will get $100,000, some will maybe just get $4,000, but they're going to help their individual needs. And with small organizations, even $1,000 can make a giant difference for them, especially this time of year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, without a doubt, every one of these is appreciative of the support that they get. I know I just got done working on the end of the year fundraising card for Hope Village up here in Chippewa Falls. This would be the tiny houses that folks can live in and, you know, to avoid homelessness, and putting something like that together. I know you've done your stuff with Girls on the Run. I'm sure there's other groups that you've worked with as well. So yeah, there's all kinds of big charitable groups out there and hospitals that get, you know, great big fat paychecks from celebrities. But every one of these organizations this time of year appreciates, you know, whatever folks can afford to send their way.
And you've probably noticed and heard that the bell ringers are back across Wisconsin right now. Mm-hmm. So when you walk past that red kettle, I know it's hard now. A lot of people, like, I never have change on me. I rarely have any cash as well. Just know that those kettles now have a scan code. So you can donate just by, you know, scanning whatever's on there and chipping in, even if it's just 25 cents every time you pass one. That really adds up for those organizations. And the cool thing is all of that money stays in your local community too.
Yeah, I do find myself doing that more often. And I think it started with the Red Cross, where if you text, you know, a certain word, you automatically donate so much for hurricane relief. I mean, we're just going so much more digital all the time. And again, not everybody is comfortable with it, but if you are, you know, if you're somebody like me, I'm whipping out my iPhone all the time to use Apple Pay, you know, to pay for this or that. If that's in your comfort level, do it for charity as well, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There was a series that you had done for the month of November, and I know we've left it behind here, but I wanted to ask about it being Guinness World Records Month. You know, it was a nationwide thing, but you took note of Wisconsin's place in the Guinness Book of World Records. And, you know, some of the interesting ones that were set. And I remember seeing one about the most Big Macs consumed. I remember seeing one about the oldest groom at a wedding. And I'm wondering if you want to think back on one or two of those Guinness World Records that you got the biggest kick out of in putting those on our social media feeds.
I think the Big Mac one has to be the standout for me. I don't have it pulled up right now, so I don't remember exactly how much he ate, how long it was for. It was at least 40 years this guy ate a Big Mac, at least one Big Mac a day, which is very disturbing to me.
I know.
yeah, we just had a series. We were just trying out different things. We like to share. We like to keep it positive. And after the election, I thought that was a good breather. But I do have one more feel-good story for you, Pat.
Yeah, go for it.
So I live in Madison, just down the street from me. When I, you know, I walk down to the Capitol almost every day, I pass this church. It's St. John's Lutheran. It's about a block and a half from the Capitol for people familiar with this area on East Washington. This church was built in 1856 on the corner of East Wash and Hancock. So it's almost as old as the Civil War. And what's really cool about this is that they are voluntarily demolishing their current space in order to build 130 low-income apartment units. Hmm. Because, I mean, we've covered story after story of this about the housing crisis. That's a national problem. It's not centralized to just Madison or even the state of Wisconsin. But Madison's income disparities are kind of bothersome. The average income for a white family is $82,000. The average income for a black family is $39,000, less than half. So these are all going to be part, you know, part government subsidized units. It's going to provide housing for at least 130 families. And the best part is that all but $3 million of this $46 million project is already paid for. So they're really in the home stretch. This is actually happening. You can look for this church to be taken down and these apartment complexes to go up and open by late 2025. I just think as someone, I'm Catholic. I was raised going to church every single weekend. I feel like nowadays, the way that politics has gotten, it oftentimes seems like Christians don't always act very Christian. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see this church actually living out their faith.
Yeah. And it comes back to what I said before about, you know, the tiny houses and affordable housing has become such a, you know, such a buzzword in a good way that people are finally taking seriously this notion, not just for folks, you know, of very low income and on the verge of homelessness, but of people who are just making a regular working family wage, you know, that are looking to aspire to the middle class. But if your community doesn't have, you know, a good stock of affordable housing, well, then, you know, you're out of luck. And so for a church to do that, especially one with its historical footprint in Madison, is rather heartwarming indeed.
And before anyone thinks of this as a handout, I do just want to mention that the rents are not cheap. I mean, they're going to still range from $568 a month for a studio to $2,200 for a two-bedroom unit. So that's still a lot of money. I still think that we have a long ways to go to make housing even more affordable for even more people. But this is a step in the right direction, and kudos to St. John's Lutheran for leading the charge with that.
Exactly. Christina Laurie, community editor for Up North News. Great to touch base with you. Have a good rest of the week.
You too.
We'll be back with more after this. You're Up North.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
That, of course, would be Burl Ives, Sam the Snowman from the animated TV classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It debuted on CBS 60 years ago today, December 3rd, 1964. So happy 60th birthday to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which was a true television classic for the first, 40 years of its existence. And then we all kind of looked at it a little bit more closely and realized that Santa and who was Rudolph's dad in this one? Donner, I believe. That they were both jerks. that you know, Rudolph was different and he was being excluded because he was different. And he was basically getting bullied by Santa and by his old man. And
Pat Kreitlaw's gone all woke on us, people.
I was just gonna say, for those of you going, hey, we're doing the woke thing. Yeah, again, remember what Pat's definition of woke is. Forgive the language. Don't be a dick to other people. That simple. Don't be a jerk to other people.
Speaking of jerks, Dan is back.
Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW and Rhinelander is back with us. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I remember singing that song in first grade, and if we were really good, they would let us do the repetition, like a light bulb. You know, that's
oh,
if we
yes.
were good, though. It's a treat.
Yep, like Monopoly. Yeah. I did like that. You had to work over Thanksgiving, I'm sure, being a young man in small market broadcasting.
I did indeed, but it's all right. It was a very easy day. We had a lot of football, so fewer newscasts, so it all works out.
Oh yes, yeah, that you're an NBC station, so you had the Packer game.
That's right, and that, what a game that was. Awesome.
That was a very nice way to wrap up the holiday here. Speaking of the holidays, it's there's more than one holiday out there this time of year, and it was on this day 30 years ago today that Adam Sandler gave us a reminder of that on NBC's Saturday Night Live in the Weekend Update segment was the premiere of this little now holiday classic.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much funaka to celebrate Hanukkah.
Classic. Yes. Yeah.
But
again.
But once again, Pat Kreitlow going woke. Now it's a war on Christmas. Can't I just say Merry Christmas to people, Pat Kreitlow? Yes. Why not?
Yes, you may, Greg. Also 30 years ago today, Sony released the first PlayStation. This is way beyond me, because, again, I reveled in Pong last week when it was the anniversary of Pong. So, Dan, what are my choices here? I either ask, are you a PlayStation person or an Xbox person?
That is a good question that people in their 20s and 30s would understand. Yes, I'm a PlayStation kid. I grew up playing PlayStation. So PlayStation all the way.
I like how he properly educated me in that. Now, you see, Grandpa, yes, that is a good question to ask us of this age. Here's somebody of my ilk, misery loves company. Mickey Thomas, the Jefferson Starship singer, is 75 years old today. Now, he replaced Marty Balin. When Marty Balin was with Jefferson Airplane, then Jefferson Starship, you got songs like Miracles and With Your Love. With Mickey Thomas, you got songs like Sarah that we played earlier and We Built the City. But did you know, when you play Elvin Bishop's 70s classic Fooled Around and Fell in Love, you're not hearing Elvin Bishop, you're hearing Mickey Thomas. I did not know that. I never knew that. It was Elvin Bishop.
Did you know that a city built on rock and roll is unstructurally sound?
Engineers would have big that.
That's an engineering joke, folks. Yeah!
There you go. Daryl Hannah is 64 today. Julianne Moore is 64. Amanda Seyfried is 39 years old today. Another singer birthday today. Andy Grammer is 41. But you gotta keep your head up.
What is he?
What do you mean, what is he?
Country? Is he pop? Is he...
It's a pop group.
He's kind of a, you know, whatever I feel like.
Okay,
kind of guy.
All right. That's, I mean, live your life, man. Do you.
That's right. Brendan Fraser is 56. Tiffany Haddish is 45 today. Anna Chlumsky is 44. Montel Jordan is 53 today.
Yeah, you guys ever been to a wedding?
Yes.
Then you've danced to this.
Oh, yeah, you have. Or you're my age, you've roller skated to it.
Man, I miss the roller rinks.
Oh, boy. LL Cool J, at the age of 49, this day in 2017, became the youngest person to receive a Kennedy Center honor and the first rapper to do so.
That's awesome.
This is National Candle Day, National Crate Day. Because you got to store your books in something.
Is it also National Barrel Day?
No, Barrel was sooner. Green Bean Casserole Day, International Day of Persons with Disabilities, and National Day of Giving, otherwise known as Giving Tuesday. I would imagine, Mr. Hagen, that up there in the Northwoods, the arrival of snow has been greeted fondly.
People are excited. People are really excited about the cold temperatures. I've already heard of one person skating on wild ice. That would just be, you know, lakes out there. We have plenty of them. So we're hoping for the temperatures to continue. And we're getting snow up in the snow belt up in the UP. I went cross-country skiing this weekend, so we want more snow. But these cold temperatures are perfect, and the economy absolutely relies on it. And it was such a terrible winter last year that we really need it.
Yes, and you're right. You're getting just the right mix. There's another Alberta Clippers coming through that's going to bring a little bit more snow, or a lot more snow, lake effect snow in some parts up there, and then it's going to get cold again. So, yeah, I mean, look, we've got to go through it anyway. Let's go through it in a way that is perfectly great for the local economy so that Dan Hagen has lots of good news to tell us about.
Absolutely.
At Newswatch 12 over at WJFW-TV in Rhinelander. Dan, good to connect with you. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you, Pat. See you, Greg.
All right. When we come back, the second hour will include more with Hans Breitenmoser, talking as a former county board member about the demise of Act 10 as thrown out by a judge yesterday. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.